The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to Happy Hour. It's nice to see you all. Thank you, Neil, for putting that in the chat box. And those of you who've been coming regularly, would you be surprised if I said that I'm going to continue talking about the inner critic? And I think I've done this for quite a few weeks now. I don't know how long I'm going to do this. It won't be forever, but it seems like, you know, something that worthwhile to spend a little time on. So one of the hallmarks of the inner critic, this inner voice that's putting us down and is somehow has this sense of making us feel inadequate and has this tone of harshness. One of the ways, like maybe we don't even notice it's there because it's so familiar, but one of the ways that we can be reminded that it's there sometimes is it uses this language, should. I should do this. I should not have done that. I should not. There's this kind of real sense of this overbearing kind of like should. Instead of saying, you know, like it probably would have been better if I hadn't have said that. Oh, or, you know, something like that. You know, we are recognizing that we do make mistakes and sometimes we do cause harm. We do hurt other people. We're not saying that we never do that. We're not saying that we're perfect. We're just trying to find a way to work with this persistent, nagging voice or sub-personality might be a way that we might understand it, that shows up. Not everybody, and maybe not all the time, but when it does show up, it really can be powerful and debilitating. It can really affect the way that we show up for the world when we have this voice that's telling us, well, you shouldn't even try. You're never going to get it, or, you know, something like that. It's like, ouch, ouch, ouch. So kind of building on this idea of a should, can be that we have an idea that whatever it is we're doing, it's wrong. And that certainly we shouldn't be doing what it is we're still doing, or something like this. And here's a poem that I'd like to share that was written by Matti Weingast. He was inspired by some poems written by some Buddhist nuns thousands of years ago. So this isn't exactly those poems. He's inspired by them, but some of that, what's in here is the elements are similar to what's are in those poems. But just this recognition that maybe there's another way. There's another way that I should do this. I should not do that. And maybe there's a kinder, gentler way to respond to what's happening. So here's this poem by Matti Weingast. It's called Vijaya, which is was attributed to the nun that said this poem all those thousands of years ago. And it goes like this. When everyone else was meditating, I'd be outside circling the hole. Finally, I went to confess. I'm hopeless, I said. The elder nun smiled. Just keep going, she said. Nothing stays in orbit forever. If this circling is all you have, why not make this circling your home? I did as she told me and went on circling the hole. If you find yourself partly in and partly out, if you find yourself drawn to this path and also drawing away, I can assure you you are in good company. Just keep going. Sometimes the most direct path isn't a straight line. Just keep going. Sometimes the most direct path isn't a straight line. So we might have this idea of how things should be, but maybe they don't have to be that way. And I appreciate this so much that she goes to this elder nun. I'm hopeless, right? She kind of shows up with this, you know, inner critic telling her, you can't do it. There's no hope for you. But this elder nun, right, who's wise, says, just keep going. Nothing stays in orbit forever. But things have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Everything. So sometimes we forget that. And then this elder nun, if this circling is all you have, why not make this circling your home? So instead of like trying to insist that things be different or abandon what it is that we're doing, thinking that it's wrong, just we start where we are. We work with what we have. This practice is not asking us to be somebody we are not. It's asking us to just bring this practice into where we are. So this one way of working with this inner critic, we have this elder nun that's speaking to this younger nun. But is there a way in which we can kind of speak to ourselves? And sometimes with compassion, or last week I talked about fierce compassion, kind of like drawing the boundaries and saying, nope, this is not helpful. Some of the language that we say to ourselves. Or maybe there's a way we could bring in some logic or reasoning, the way that this elder nun says nothing stays in orbit forever, right? Just pointing out kind of the logic, using the rational thinking. Maybe there's a way in which we can do that too for our own practice, remind ourselves of some rational maybe thinking. So I'm going to introduce some phrases. For those of you who were here last week, those are the same phrases. So we'll do some, there's a little bit of compassion. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. Then we'll do some fierce compassion. I know you're trying to help, but it's not working. Sometimes we could say that to this voice inside ourselves. Or we can use a little bit different approach. I'm doing the best I can right now. And, or, I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this is some phrases that we can bring in to our practice, when our loving kindness practice, our compassion practice. But I really want us to make sure that we have this warm-hearted approach when we bring these phrases in. Otherwise, they can just be co-opted by the inner critic and be another way we should can beat ourselves up. So we'll do a little bit of mindfulness, a little bit of loving kindness, and then we'll work with the inner critic. Okay, so with that as an introduction, can begin. Can we take a meditation posture? Looking for my little cushion for my knee here that's a little bit uncomfortable. And we'll take a posture that has some ease and relaxation, but also has some uprightness, alertness. Just feeling into the bodily experience. What is it like to be in this body at this moment? just feeling embodied, being embodied. Being embodied is a way that give the mind and maybe the heart a place to land, to settle, instead of all the busyness that it might be up to. Feeling into the sensations of breathing, the movements of the body as the body breathes. Just tuning into the experience of breathing in a relaxed, open-hearted way. With a commitment to the practice, but maybe not with an ambition, like we have to get somewhere or get something. When the mind wanders, we just very simply, gently begin again. So this practice, just being mindful of the sensation of breathing, be an alternative practice. If ever you feel like loving kindness or working with the inner critic just doesn't feel right, or you're feeling overwhelmed, whatever reason. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, we'll start where it's easy peasy. That is, by bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for you, who has this inner smile when you think of this lovable being. This can be somebody in your life you have a relationship with. Can be a furry family member. Can be somebody who has touched you with their writings or teachings. Or can be imaginary. Just the idea or visualization of kittens, puppies, and babies. Just wherever there's a sense of warm-heartedness, maybe with a little bit of delight. Bringing that lovable being to mind. Connecting with them. And to help us tune into the warm-heartedness, it can be helpful to repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can be helpful to check in with the body and see if there's a sensation of openness or spaciousness or warm-heartedness. And if so, allow that to be a support. Maybe the loving kindness comes out of that sensation, that experience. No reason to make it complicated. If that feels too complicated, no need to do it. And it's perfectly fine if there isn't any particular bodily sensation. Perfectly fine. Refreshing the image or the connection with the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness, to include ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. maybe we can have this warm-hearted stance towards ourselves in the same way this elder nun did in the poem. Here's the poem again. When everyone else was meditating, I'd be outside circling the hall. Finally, I went to confess. I'm hopeless, I said. The elder nun smiled. Just keep going, she said. Nothing stays in orbit forever. If this circling is all you have, why not make this circling your home? I did as she told me and went on circling the hole. If you find yourself partly in and partly out, if you find yourself drawn to this path and also drawing away, I can assure you, you're in good company. Just keep going. Sometimes the most direct path isn't a straight line. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So now to start our practice working with the inner critic, bring to mind some difficulty in your life, difficulty on a scale of 1 to 10. Take a mild one, get 2 or a 3 on the scale, bringing that to mind. We can meet it with some compassion. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. if we recognize this inner critic, sometimes it's helpful to speak directly to it with some fierce compassion. You can say this phrase, "I know you are trying to help, but it's not helpful." I know you are trying to help, but it's not helpful. Or maybe more of a rational approach. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I've offered four phrases. Maybe one of them resonates. Maybe all four. Just work with whatever resonates with you at this time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. I know you're trying to help, but it's not helpful. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. So this idea that when the inner critic is up and running and particularly loud, it's this idea of should, like I should do this, I shouldn't do that, but there's a way in which we can kind of befriend, and instead of trying to yank our mind or body or something to do something completely different, just work with where we are. Instead of saying you should do this, sometimes we get stuck when we just have the should, but just like the nun did in this poem, just encouraged her, well, if circling is, well, I forgot now, what was the exact expression? If this circling is all you have, why not make this circling your home? Okay, so I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms. So you'll have an opportunity to talk about this idea together, maybe talk about the poem or this idea of should. But maybe we can soften that. So you'll be in groups of three or four. And this is an opportunity to maybe kind of like extend this loving kindness and compassion that we've been cultivating and to extend it to others. And just say one point and then I'll let it go to the next person. They just say one point and then they go to the next person. So as opposed to giving a discourse on everything that you know about it, or as opposed to, you know, educating others or informing others, it's not so much about that. It's more about sharing, but also creating the space so that others can share. You know, just kind of like we respect and meet each other in this room. So it can be helpful if to go in a particular order. So I would like to suggest that go in alphabetical order for tonight. And let's see, we'll have 13 minutes and here we go. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share after the breakout group? Then Neil, yes.
So I had heard this poem before, but I was just overwhelmed by it, right? Right. When that nun is just like so chill, you know, it's like, you know, you be you, you know. You know, and you know, she had said, like, I finally confessed or whatever it was. You know, she obviously was feeling terrible about the situation. I just, it was just a very sweet image of compassion. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, it's very nice. And not only does she confess, she says, I'm hopeless, right? So she has this idea, like, oh.
Right. And like no awareness that, you know, she's there at the hall day after day after day, right? You know, which certainly is like not a small effort.
Speaking by somebody who comes to happy hour day after day after day. That's fabulous. Thank you. There's a number of you, right? You are here regularly. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing that you come here regularly. Anybody else have a comment or something they'd like to share? Okay. Nice. There's something about practicing together that really, I don't know, kind of makes it special. And maybe we wouldn't be coming to the hall, so to speak, if there weren't, you know, the rest of us here. There's a way in which, you know, just with all of us coming together, we support our practice. So if you like, you can unmute and we could say goodbye together in a raucous way.
So, goodbye, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you,
Dan.
Thank you,
Elizabeth.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Thank you.